Well, good morning again. It's been so good to be here with you. This room is full today, and that's awesome. And again, if you came in late, my name is Trevor Kaufman. I'm the campus pastor here, and we are glad that you are here with us today. And so today we are actually concluding our series on When God Speaks. We've been looking at the fact that God does, in fact, want to speak to each and every one of us that calls him Lord and Savior of our life. And he does that a multiple of ways. He does that through our prayer time. He does that through Scripture. He does that through life circumstances, and he uses the Holy Spirit to sort of interweave throughout all of that. And so today, we're going to look at how God continues to speak to each and every one of us through the church. And so as we get started this morning, I'm going to ask a couple questions, and I want you to raise your hand if any of these things have ever happened to you. First is this. Have you ever in your life gotten a timely word of insight or guidance from another believer? Right? Shouldn't be too shocking to raise your hand for most of these, right? Have you ever received a note in the mail, a text message, or a phone call at just the right time from a fellow Christian to encourage you? Anytime. Raise your hand. I'm going to raise my hand for this too, for pretty much all of them. Have you ever reached out to other believers for prayer and felt the burden lift as they prayed for you? Anybody? All right. Have you ever received a meal or a gift or financial support from a church member during a difficult time? Right? Have you ever had a sermon resonate so strongly with you that you felt the preacher was speaking directly to you? Might mean it wasn't me, but somebody else. Right? Sure, somebody. Have you ever felt an instant bond with a brother or sister in Christ in another country or a totally different context? I think more of you probably have than you think, right? Here's the reality. All of these are beautiful examples of God speaking through his church. And so I don't know about you. Maybe you think of, when you think of the word church, what is it you think of? Maybe you think of a building like this. Maybe you think of, when you hear the word church, a gathering time or literally a church service. Maybe when you hear the word church, you have negative connotations with it. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of non-Christians probably think this. You think of the word church and you immediately think social media negativity or people kind of just pushing their agendas and preferences and opinions on you. So I don't know how you think of the church, but this morning we're going to answer a couple questions. What is the church actually, and how does God actually speak through the church? And we're going to begin this morning by reading what is our memory verse for this upcoming week's study. So I think many of you are doing the When God Speaks journal study guide together as groups or even individually. And so this week we're going to be talking about the church. And each week there's a memory verse. And this week the verse is Ephesians 1, 22 through 23. So I'm going to read that verse and then we're going to jump in further. It says this, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." I don't know if you caught that, but here's the reality of that passage. God placed Christ as the head of the church, which is his body. You and I make up the body of Christ right now as the church. Now, interestingly enough, this word church that is used, the original Greek word used for church is ekklesia. And this word actually doesn't have any sort of a Christian definition to it. It actually just means popular assembly place. So an ecclesia could be your school where you go to assemble often. An ecclesia could be the local Rotary Club. An ecclesia could be a Bills game, a popular gathering place. An ecclesia could be a casino. An ecclesia could be the latest rock concert you attended. The Metallica concert that took place at Highmark Stadium this summer was an ecclesia. It was a popular assembly of people. So what makes the church, which is written in this passage, different from all of these other popular assemblies? Well, it's who's head over it. That is the key point in the church body that you and I are a part of, the ecclesia, the popular assembly that you and I are a part of. It's who is head of it. When you talk about a football team or a gathering place like that, you've got a head coach or a concert promoter for a concert or the owner of a casino or the principal of a school. These are all people who are head of these situations or events or organizations or popular assemblies. But our head is not just our lead pastor. Yes, that's like the local governing aspect of the church, but it's Jesus Christ first and foremost. That is who's ahead of us. And so if we look back a couple verses in this passage that we just read, we can see what sets our ecclesia apart from others. You see, in the beginning of this verse, Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and he's explaining all of the things that each of us individually have received from Christ. The adoption to grace, the fact that we are a part of his family, the redemption that we receive, and the forgiveness that we receive. And it's chock full of incredible information, so much so that we're actually going to spend an entire series on the book of Ephesians in January leading up to our Lenten study. And so we're super excited about that, and so we're going to dive more into those details when we get there. But Paul is so thankful for the church in Ephesus as he hears about their faith and how Jesus has shaped and impacted them that he closes this chapter by praying for them. We're going to actually close our service later today by praying some of the very words of Paul. But let me read the entire context of his prayer, which concludes with this memory verse that we've already read. Ephesians 1:17 through 23 says this: I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. This is really a summary and a culmination of what we've been talking about over the course of the past 4 or 5 weeks, that God wants to reveal himself to us as he speaks to us. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. That power that he's speaking of, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And then this next verse bears repeating as it is our memory verse. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in this way. Paul was so excited about what being a follower of Jesus Christ meant for the individual, but also for the body of believers that make up the church. He prays that their hearts and our hearts would be able to see the hope and the inheritance and the incomparably great power that is available to us. And it's that power that allowed Jesus Christ to defeat death, raise again, and ascend into heaven to be at the right hand of God the Father. And that is today where Jesus Christ still sits and still reigns over and above every possible ruler, over every president, over every leader, over every government or authority, far above every other name, now and forever. And that is who is the head of our church, our gathering time, our popular assembly. And yes, we look to some of these other leaders locally for different things, but it is Jesus Christ who is the head of our church. It's not, and Allison mentioned this last week, it's not a fickle celebrity who changes with the ebb and flow of trends. It's not a self-interested politician who is susceptible to corruption and scandal. It's not an out-of-touch academic who loves doctrine more than people. It is Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God, who defeated sin and death and now sits in the heavenly realms with every single thing and everybody under his feet. And he is why we gather today, and he is the church. And we make up that body. So earlier I asked you what you think of when you hear the word church. Let me tell you some things that the church isn't. The church is not a building, though those come in handy oftentimes. The church is not just a social club, though fellowship is incredibly important. And listen to this, the church is not a political power. In fact, it transcends any human construct of government and will long outlive any nation, regime, or philosophy. and it will outlive it because Jesus Christ is head of it. And Jesus Christ has defeated death already. And so the church, the body of Christ, goes from now on into eternity. And that is what we celebrate together when we gather. So the church is in fact the body of Christ, which we're going to dive into deeper. And Jesus Christ is the head of it. So how does God speak to us through the church? Listen to this. As the head of the church, Christ empowers the body to work interdependently to hear from God and obey his word. It's on the screens, but let me read that one more time. As the head of the church, Christ empowers the body to work interdependently to hear from God and obey his word. Last week, Allison spoke and she mentioned John 5, where Jesus said that he only does what his Father tells him to do. And the church, you and I, operate the same way, except now, instead of just working through one man, there are billions of us working interdependently across the world with Jesus Christ as our head. And so his efforts and his ability is multiplied exponentially by billions as we work interdependently. Now, what does interdependently actually mean? And that word will come up in your study this week in one of the days, this interdependent word. It's not independently. We are not expected to work independently of one another. We cannot be independent followers of Jesus Christ. It simply doesn't work that way. And this brings up a beautiful point of the importance of meeting and gathering together. Over the course of the past few years, we've sort of gotten lazy on that, right? We've sort of stepped back and we've watched from our couches and we haven't been a part of the body of Christ physically. And we've been like, well, I don't need everybody else. I just need to, you know, have my time with Jesus one-on-one. And that is important. But there is incredible value of us meeting together. That's why I'm so encouraged by just the attendance today. It's not about the numbers, but it is about the fact that we are stronger with one another and God can speak to and through us when we are together. You may have heard the saying that, and I will be guilty that I've said this myself, you may have heard the saying that I love Jesus, but I can't stand Christians. Huh? How many has ever thought of that? Right? It's pretty common. I have struggled with it, but here's the problem. It's not biblical. It's not biblical because it's not the way God has designed the church to work. As the body of Christ, we are called to set aside our differences and work together to fulfill the mission of God. And you may think that that sounds absolutely impossible, and it is when we place humanity at the head of it. But when we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, all of this is, in fact, possible because we are in this together with all of our faults, because we are all filled with them. None of us are perfect, with all of our shortcomings, but with Jesus Christ as our head. Now, I also didn't say dependently or codependently. So what do I mean by that? Oftentimes we can sort of look at one another and be like, well, I'm only going to really listen to what this person tells me because they align with what I already kind of believe anyway, right? And so we narrow and focus in on who it is we hear from. But what happens is oftentimes we eliminate the ability of God to speak through the Holy Spirit through other people and other organizations or other people around us. But here's the reality. Not everything said to you by a brother or sister in Christ is necessarily from God. Because here is the truth. People, Christians, can in fact be wrong at times. They can be hurtful. They can be downright toxic. And unfortunately, what happens is those types of Christians most of the time get the most attention, but they do not represent the majority of Christians worldwide. So listen to this. If a brother or sister in Christ, including a pastor, including me, speaks a word of God from you or to you, you need to confirm it with what we've been talking about all the way up until now. It needs to align with Scripture. It needs to align with the ways that Jesus has encouraged us to live. It needs to align with how you've been interacting with him throughout the week, through your prayer time. It needs to fit in and align with your life circumstances. And it needs to align with what other people may be telling you. And you may think, well, How do I know if it aligns or not? Well, you have to be practicing these other things in order to be able to identify that. Because if your only experience with Jesus is on Sunday morning for 1 hour, somebody coming up to you and telling you that they have a word from God to you, how are you going to gauge that and test that against everything else, right? And God does in fact speak through us. That's the whole point of today's message. But oftentimes we can misrepresent and hear the wrong thing that we're not expecting to hear or supposed to hear because we're not clearly in tune with what the Holy Spirit is working through us. We'll kind of talk to that. I'll talk to that personally, actually, at the end here in just a minute. So it's not independently. It's not codependently. What does interdependently look like? Well, it looks like all of us working together seamlessly and flawlessly, which will be nearly impossible, again, without Jesus as the head, in order to create one whole unified body of Christ. And that's what we're going to continue to talk about. But before we do, I want to show you this clip, which sort of puts into visual aid what interdependence actually looks like. Now, before we play it, this is a clip from the Ohio State Marching Band. You may have seen these before. They put together all of these sort of like on-field animations, which are absolutely incredible. This clip that we're watching this from is about an 8-minute clip filled with this stuff, but I wanted to show you like a 30-second clip of it. Check this out. It's pretty powerful. It's incredible to see what they can do. It's this whole Superman thing. And then they turn in to a phone booth in a building. Superman goes in, changes into Superman, comes out, and saves the day by tipping the building back on its feet. So that, again, you can like search that. That's just 2% of the whole clip. They keep doing things like that. It's insane. But that's an example of visual example of what interdependence looks like, right? There's not some one lone person trying to figure all do this all out together. And there's not just a couple people coercing together and like listening to one another. They are all together doing something. And some of them have maybe minor roles where they don't move much, and some of them have a whole lot of stuff that they got to figure out and do. There's roles that seem lesser and roles that seem more, and that's what we're going to talk to in just a minute, because in 1 Corinthians, Paul describes the interdependence of the body of Christ, and he uses our human bodies as an incredible and beautiful analogy. Now, I spoke about this at the end of summer when we had sort of a standalone weekend, and I spoke to us about being a part of the body of Christ, the church, and how we should all be a part of it and not apart from it. And so we're going to sort of repeat some of that this morning, but it bears repeating because it's incredibly important, and it's how the Lord speaks through the church the most effective ways. So he begins by saying that one part of the body cannot sort of say to itself, well, I'm only a fingernail, so I'm not very significant, so I'm not going to do anything. Or the other part can't say, well, I'm the bicep, and this fingernail over here is worthless, so I'll just do all the heavy lifting. That's not what's being said here, and Paul speaks against that, and he uses our body as an incredible analogy of all of this. We looked at that at the end of summer, and I'll repeat it now, but our bodies are filled with miraculous things in it. The fact that just even our blood vessels alone, there's like tens of thousands of miles of blood vessels in each and every one of our bodies, and all of the little aspects of our bodies all play an important role. And when one of them doesn't function accurately, or one of them is broken, or one of them is injured, the rest of the body steps up and compensates for it. And that is the way the body of Christ is designed to work as well. It's no matter if it's used for a lot or only small occasions, we as the body of Christ need all of the members in it, all of the Christians in the world, to fully function as Christ's body. And so we're going to hear this directly from the Apostle Paul. Again, I read this passage a few months ago, but we're going to read it again now because it bears repeating. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 through 20, and then I'm going to jump to 24 and 27. He says this. This is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And then, jumping to 24. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. I don't know if you caught the idea, but he speaks to the fact that unity is brought about through diversity. He says the body of Christ uses different parts with different functions to create unity. To understand the church, to understand the body of Christ, you need to look no further than your own body. Again, as the body of Christ, we hurt when other people hurt. And I've seen this take place here. I've seen it take place in community groups when somebody is going through an issue or a struggle or an injury or a low spot in their life. People come around them. They gather around them and they help lift them up. They hurt with them. They're there with them. And then in the same way, we celebrate with one another when other people have victories. One of the ways that I think that we struggle with this the most, and this is for me personally actually, is we struggle with the success of other ministries. Like a lot of times I'll look across town and I'll see another church that's just thriving and I'm like, well, why aren't we experiencing the same thing? And I get caught up in this, I'll get caught up with this comparison game, this comparison trap, and I miss out on the incredible things that God is doing right here because I'm too busy worrying about what something else is, where God is moving in some other place. But we're all part of the same body. Yes, we have our local context and our local body of believers here in this building, but we are part of a global body of Christ. And so when something powerful and incredible happens across town, we need to celebrate that. When something powerful and incredible happens at another campus, we need to celebrate that. Before we did our fall fest a couple weeks ago, East Aurora had their fall fest. And they had like the best weather ever. It was like 75 degrees. And I left after that weekend, I was like angry at them. I was like, you guys, it's late November, you get the best weather, your brand new campus over there, you're just killing it, it's doing awesome, you got all these people coming out, you're on Main Street, no wonder you have a good time over there, right? And then God's like, hey, why don't you shut your mouth, because then the following weekend, we had an incredible Trunk or Treat Fall Fest here with amazing weather. It was amazing, right? But I should be excited for when East Aurora succeeds. I should be excited for when Springville has an incredible opportunity for ministry. I should be excited when McKinley has something happen, or Bayview has something happen, or a cross-town church rival has a successful ministry. We're all in this together, and God wants to use us collectively as the body of Christ. And so for me, it's a humbling thing to see that sometimes. And God and the enemy wants nothing more than to destroy my passion and desire for this congregation by focusing me on other people's success, which is completely backwards. And I think all of us can fall into that trap once in a while as well. Next week, as a church, we're going to celebrate together. We're going to celebrate baptisms. We've got a couple baptisms signed up, and we're going to celebrate with these individuals making a step further in their faith and acknowledging that they want everybody here in the world to know that they follow Jesus Christ. And so we're going to celebrate together as a church body with them through baptism. And then that same day on this next week, we're going to celebrate together through story. Through testimony. We're actually going to give a few moments for people in this room to share how God has been changing their lives. We'll prompt you with a couple questions. They'll just be short answer questions, but we want to hear from one another because that is how God speaks in and through this church. So maybe through this journey, you've heard God speak to you or something became clearer to you or you were able to identify his voice a little better than you were before we started this. We want to hear that from you. And so we're going to actually do a good old-fashioned pass the mic around kind of thing, and see what happens, kind of unscripted. But we're looking forward to seeing that. We've done this in the past, and it's always been encouraging as we hear stories from one another. Just yesterday, we had a prayer event here. It went beautifully, and we heard testimonies and stories from one another. And through those experiences, you get to learn people. You get to understand who they are. And again, next week will be shorter, like one, two, three-sentence testimony stories. But we want to give the opportunity to share that. And so you'll hear more about that as well. And so that's next week's service on November 20th. And then actually that evening, we're going to have a Thanksgiving service combined with other churches in Brandt, New York at Parish of Our Lady Church at 6:30. So I'd love for you guys to attend that. I'll be there for that as well. It'd be a great time to get together, to celebrate, give thanks, and truly be the church as we sort of break down the denominational walls. So we're looking forward to all of those things. But as we do this, as we learn how to speak encouragement to one another and life and love and not division and tension and toxicity, we become more and more mature in our faith. As we work together, as we are empowered by Christ, as we resolve conflict, as we compromise preferences, as we pray for each other, as we share in each other's burdens and celebrate each other's victories, we become more and more mature in Christ and more mature as the body of Christ. Paul says all of this to the church of Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Let me read this. He says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, you and I may be built up, until we all reach unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so for me, this reality rings true in the fact that I'm even standing here before you today in this position. A little bit of my story and how God spoke through the church to me, I could go on forever about it. But I graduated in 2001 with a degree in music, and I moved out here to do some other things, which I've shared about before. But I started working at this church as a musician, and I was a worship leader. I did that for about 10 years, actually probably closer to 12, 13 years. But throughout that time, I was sensing this nudge that maybe God was calling me to something after worship leading. But I'm like, well, what in the world is that going to be? Like, I don't know how to do anything else. And I had been given a few opportunities to talk and to speak. I was taking mission trips overseas, and I was connecting with people of different cultures, like I mentioned at the beginning, in powerful and dynamic ways. And I would speak, and they would listen, and they would respond, and it was crazy. And finally, some of the staff here was like, hey, you should step into like formal education to become an ordained minister. I'm like, you're kidding me. Knock it off. Like, I can't stand talking. And I've joked about this before, but earlier when I was in my worship leading days, anytime I had to speak between songs, it was an avalanche of a train wreck of verbal nonsense that would come out of my mouth. And so I've learned over time how to slow down, for the most part, my speech and enunciate my words. But slowly, people continued to encourage me. They continued to tell me, like, listen, you've got a gift and you should step into this. So finally, I'm like, okay, I'll step into the education process. I went to this first meeting in the Wesleyan Church. There's this district board of ministerial development. It sounds super crazy and academic and formal, and it kind of is, but it's really incredible. And so I went to this meeting to sort of step into the process. I went into the meeting actually skeptical, thinking I really shouldn't even be here. I was sort of forced into this. And through the encouragement of my local church body and the encouragement of those around that table, it was clear to me that God wanted me to step in to become a fully ordained pastor. It's crazy. I would have never put that on my agenda even, well, 5-7 years ago now. Never would have even thought about it. And here I am, and a couple weeks ago, I became fully ordained. And it's crazy to think that. And it was because the church was speaking through me. Now, all along that way, I had people telling me their opinions, telling me their issues. As I was a worship leader of the church, trust me, that's a position I wish on nobody. It's not easy because that's one of the most opinionated areas in ministry. And so you're the brunt of everybody's, God's telling me that you should do this way, which I was referring to earlier. And it's very easy to take those opinions and those thoughts very personally and derail you from being effective in the kingdom of God in any way, shape, or form. But through my time in scripture and through my time in prayer and through my circumstances around me and those speaking truth into me, I was able to continue to move forward in the will that God had for my life. And I stumbled along the way. I made mistakes along the way, and I will continue to stumble and make mistakes as I continue to grow and move forward as well. But I love the encouragement and the value that is added by the church body around me. And I hope that each and every one of you can experience the same reality of that as well. Because we are the body of Christ, and we gather in a way that nobody else does, because Jesus Christ is the head of us. We are his body, interdependently working together in powerful and dynamic ways. And so as we conclude this series, I want you to know that you can all be a mouthpiece of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in very easy and very tangible ways. And some of these very easy and tangible ways are the very words that were spoken to me to move me towards the trajectory that God had for my life and still will continue to. But each and every one of you can be a valued asset of the body of Christ, no matter how small or meaningless you feel you are. He wants to work through you. and maybe even just through small ways. Just like I mentioned at the beginning where I had us raise our hands, I want to encourage you this. You, everybody in here, easily can give a timely word of encouragement to somebody else. That's God speaking through you. God speaking through the church. Everybody in here can send a note or a text message or a phone call checking in on someone when they come to your mind. Everyone in here can offer to pray for somebody who is struggling. Everyone in here can make a meal or give generously for a person who needs support. You can all do this in some way, shape, or form. Everyone in here can speak scripture to somebody as led by the Holy Spirit. This isn't a contextual like preference thing. This is where we push our things aside and we speak truth in life led by the Holy Spirit. Everybody in here can create bonds with people who are so different from ourselves in other cultures, in other areas, but whom God has placed in our lives for us to love. We can all do this. And so as we wrap up this series, hopefully you're still going to continue it within your small groups or even individually in the journey. You'll continue to look at different aspects of how God speaks through you and how God speaks through the church. But as we close, I want to remind you that all of these put together as one allow us to clearly hear the voice of God. The fact that first and foremost, the Holy Spirit is alive and active in each and every one of us that calls him our Lord and Savior. And as he's alive and active, as he's working in and through our hearts and our minds, he is speaking to us through our prayer time. But we've got to engage in prayer time for him to speak to us through it. He wants to engage with us and speak to us through scripture. But he can't do it unless we intentionally engage in scripture. He wants to speak to us through the power of the Holy Spirit by making us aware of the circumstances around us. And he wants to speak to us through the church, through each and every one of us. And as he does so, he wants to bring unity and love and grace and power. Yes, there's times for correction and rebuke. But God wants a church body that is unified and working together interdependently with him as the head. So as we close, I'm going to pray the very words of Paul that he prayed to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, but we've tweaked it a little bit to pray directly over each and every one of you. So let me pray as we close our time this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your church, for placing Christ as the head and allowing us to participate in your work as members of your body. Continue to give the gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to your church and empower them to equip your people to do the work and build up the church, the body of Christ. May this continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of your Son that we will be mature in you, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Heavenly Father, we don't want to be immature children being tossed back and forth by every new teaching. Instead, empower us to speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Continue to make the whole body fit together perfectly, both at Revive Wesleyan and every Christian church across the country and across the globe. May each part do its own special work, helping the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We pray all of these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand as we continue to sing and worship this morning.